simonim in an event that took place many years ago. We were living in the San Fernando Valley, and times were very rough there financially. We were in a community where, for a long time, the nicest thing most people had to say was "go home," and they meant back to New York, where you came from, and leave us alone. It was very rough. It wasn't a wealthy community, and the message was not resonating with many of the people. Many were even threatened by this idea of bringing a yeshiva to a community that at the time didn't even have a mikveh, had to go to the city 10 miles away. So it was rough. Financially, it was very, very difficult. And personally, it took a toll. Hashem survived. But it was hard. Rosh Hashanah came home from davening. And I remember I wanted to make Kiddush. There was a tall wine decanter. I don't know whether it was glass or whether it was crystal, with a long neck. I took off the top, poured the wine, put it down, took the cap, the top, and wanted to put it on top. And I don't know how, to this day, I can't imagine, but I have witnesses. I must have touched the neck, and the neck slid off, completely broke off. Not a nick. Well, piece lying on the table. I held it for many years and lost it. And my wife calls out immediately, "Hapach nishbar, v'anachnu nimlatnu." The trap has broken, and we are freed. We escape. We started to discuss the inyan of Simon Emils, because this was Rosh Hashanah, and it was such an interesting simon. The pach nishbar, v'anachnu nimlatnu. And we discovered that Simone Milsa is an Indian that when we say it should be a Shana Toiva Masuka, Shania Le Roish Veloy Lezonov, Shatig Zoralein Ugzeiros Toivos, and the different foods and fruits that we take and make these little tefillas, that it's all an effort to strengthen our bitochen in Hashem, that the year is going to be a good year. That's what we discovered. And it was very interesting because what did we do? It took an apple, dipped it in the honey, and said, "Yerosin sheyeh esheti shono toivu mesuka." What? With the sweetness of the honey or the apple or the combination and the little tefillah that I said, that now is inspiring me that I have bitochen in Hashem, this is going to be a wonderful year. And the same for all the other simonim. But in reality, it seems that we don't realize the power of the slightest inspiration. We don't realize how we grow and how much we accomplish with even the slightest awakening, the slightest hisoirus, the slightest inspiration that I took my bitochen from here to here. What's that? Look how much there is to go. But that's choshev, but that's meaningful. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and his infinite love and chesed, considers that a major accomplishment. Look what you did. You grew in bitochen. You have such bitochen in me, I'm going to help you. Simone Milsa, this is going to help. Interestingly enough, that year, in the middle of that year, I was offered an opportunity to actually to move to New York. And without going into detail, tell you the truth, I received a signing bonus. $30,000 in those days. It's 1985. That's a lot of money. I'm not a baseball player or a football player or a signing bonus. Signing bonus. And Baruch Hashem, there was that year, it was a year with Parnosa B'Shefa, and I really was bored. I didn't know what to do. But anyway, that's besides the point. But Simone Milsa, little things. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes the slightest little accomplishment, the slightest little inspiration, the slightest little step of growth from here to here, and wow, look at you, look what you've accomplished. Let's take another example. Let's go from the night of Rosh Hashanah to the morning. We blow shofar. remind us of Akedas Yitzchok. Many of the Rabbeinu Sadiguin gives 10 reasons why we blow the shofar. Rambam says, of course, it's a shrill sound that wakes us up and says, you know, stop sleeping and wake up and pay attention to the world and pay attention to life and see what you're doing and correct your ways and come closer to Hashem. The message. One of the messages is, of course, to remember Akedas Yitzchok, that great Mesiras Nefesh, that great devotion to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Avraham Avinu performed by being willing to take that Ben Yochid, who he was promised to be Yitzchok Yikoy Lecho Zora, and Hashem now says him, Haleu Leoilo, comes with his knife, ready to shecht, and to bring this korban, Belev of Sholem, without heart, without hesitation, without doubt, without question, with the fullness of his heart. So we remember that. The Sefer HaChinuch tells us, actually not in the mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah, but in the mitzvah of Tkiyah Shofar on Yom Kippur of Yovel, where it contrasts it between the Tkiyah Shofar on Yovel. So he says the Inyan Rosh Hashanah of Tkiyah Shofar is that we should remember Akedas Yitzchok, Unetzayer Benafshenu, Ki'ilu, we did the Akedah, to picture ourselves doing the same thing as Avraham Avinu did. You know, I like to say, take the calendar picture, which has Avraham, Abraham, and Isaac, and put your face in Abraham's and your son's face in Isaac's. And imagine, Nitzayir ben Afshenu, picture that we're doing this. And the Chinuch continues, I will be Zeiche Bedin. Will be Zeiche Bedin on Rosh Hashanah because of this. The Shofar helps us to be Zeiche in the din of Rosh Hashanah. Why? Because we're remembering Akedas Yitzchok and we're picturing ourselves as if we performed such an act of loyalty and devotion to Hashem to take our son and to shecht him because Hashem said so. And for that we'll be Zeiche. First of all, obviously it means that a person who views him or herself in a certain way, it has a tremendous hashpah. You know, they say that a baseball player who pictures himself hitting a home run has statistically increased his chances of hitting that home run. Say that a person who has an artery that's clogged and pictures the blood gushing through the artery, that in a real life level enhances, widens the space in that artery to make it flow better. It's the power that we have. But be that as it may, what am I doing? I'm doing something very small. I'm picturing myself performing Akedas Yitzchok. Didn't cost me anything. I didn't really do anything. I didn't do an action. It's a thought. But the thought is very powerful, and it can have a major effect on my life. I don't know if it's going to bring me to the level of Avraham Avinu. Doubtful. But Hashem considers that. You tried to imagine yourself to achieve the ultimate level of connection to Hashem, of devotion to Hashem, of following the Rotzen Hashem, that you're willing to do such an act, that you're willing, not that I'm willing, that I'm picturing myself, which means I'm trying to imagine myself doing it. That could be a schus in the whole Rosh Hashanah. And again, we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes the smallest little things and considers them so choshev. And all of that is all because of his love, because of the love that he has for Klal Yisrael, because of the rachmonis that he has, because of how attuned he is to the challenges and the difficulties of our lives and the temptations of our lives, which he has dangled in front of us, so to speak. See, therefore, we'll consider even the slightest effort as a major influence and influencer in the din that takes place on Rosh Hashanah, just because I made that effort. I took that apple and dipped it in the honey. Wow. I elevated myself. I imagined a sweeter year, a better year. I took that today, the gezer, and I said, she goes through soineinu, she yir beschu yoseinu, she... I'm elevating so slightly. Shmuel says, no, that's a big thing. Simona Milsa. And sometimes we find it makes a major difference, you know, even to the extent of a signing bonus. But that's what it is. And this is what we're dealing with. This is who we're dealing with. Then it comes to tshuva. Want to do tshuva. Fine. But it's so overwhelming. You know how many things I did wrong today, and yesterday, and the day before, and the week before, and the month before, and we're talking about a year? Wow, I don't know. I don't know if there's enough paper in the community to write up all the things that I did wrong. Nobody writes on paper today anyway, so maybe it's a little bit easier. But anyway, what am I going to do? How will I ever, how can I manage? Comes along our G'doylei Chachmei HaDoyrois, and they teach us, calm down, take it easy. We'll explain to you what's involved. Comes along, for example, Chazal, and say, Pischuli Pesach kechudoy shel machat, v'ani eftach lochem Pesach kepischoy shel ulam. Open the door for me, like the eye of a needle. Ever so slightly, just a little bit. Let me in, let me back into your lives. Let's change a little bit. And I will open up the floodgates. I'll open up the doors as if to the greatest hall. I'll do the rest. I'll take care of it. Vani eftach lochem pischuli pesach kechudoy shel machat. Vani eftach lochem pesach kepischoy shel ulam. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, make a little effort. Start. Try. Open the door ever so slightly, and I'll do the rest. Habol etaher misayin loy. One who comes to purify himself, Hashem will help him. B'derech shodom roitzel leilech molichen oisoy. The way that you want to go, that's the way Hashem will lead us. He's going to help us. He's going to do it for us. We just have to just begin the process. Comes along Reb Chaim Ivaloshin, the Talmud Muvak of the Vilna Goyin, and he says, Midina de Gemara, this is in the Keser Roish, on Inyone Tshuva, he has a sefer, it's in the back of the Sidra Agroa, he says, Midina de Gemara, Tshuva benoke lotzeis. It's easy to do Tshuva. Wow, that already should take off a burden. You know, tshuva is easy. I don't know, ask me, considering all the mistakes that I made, I can't imagine how it's easy. And he says, what is it? Midina de Gemara, Meikar Hadin, sheyigmor bedaitoy shelo yovu lekis le'oid. A person has to make up his mind that he won't do this foolishness again. That's what tshuva is. I'm not going to do this foolish thing again. I guess I realize it's foolish. Chazal say, "Ein al mechayte elin kenichtas v'ruach shtus." Person doesn't really commit a chet unless he has some temporary insanity because it's so foolish. But that's what happens. And I'm making up my mind. I'm not going to do it again. Umeriras halev and the bitterness of the heart and all the worry and all the sadness and all the pain and all that. The Yeser says that's lifnim mishuras hadin. That's not meikar hadin. Midina de gemara tshuva is easy. He says. Just a gemiras das, that I'm not going to do it again. Now, again, we find HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes, I made up my mind, I don't want to do this again. That's tshuva. What is tshuva? It means I rectified the chet. In the Loshon of the Mesillas Yeshorim, Akiras HaRotzoim, Kikiras HaMaiseh. It's as if I never did it. I have reinstated and reconnected and synced my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And any obstacle that existed before that was interfering is no longer. And what did I do? I made up my mind. I don't want to do this foolishness again. Now you might say that that's not as easy as it sounds. And I could understand that position because you'll say that, well, wait a minute. We've been here before. I made up my mind, and my mind has a mind of its own. And by tomorrow, or maybe something by today, or by the next minute, or whenever, I'm doing the same thing over again. So, how can you tell me that? That's tshuva. What's going on? if I repeat it again, that means I didn't really make a Gemira Stas. So I didn't do tshuva. So it's not easy. So what is he talking about? So it's a very interesting comment in the Mabit, the sefer called Beis Elikim. And he writes as follows. He brings an opinion that says that if a person did an Avera last year, and 2 years ago that is, and he did tshuva, he said vidui, did tshuva, so the next year he doesn't have to do tshuva again for what he did the previous year, because he did tshuva. But if he repeated it again, the same Avera, then he has to do tshuva for this year, and for last year's, because he repeated the same thing again. So you would think that means, if I repeated it, that means I didn't really have a tshuva and it didn't really accomplish anything. Says Mabit, not so. Says the only reason that we have to do tshuva again on the 2 years ago is the Chazal wanted us to realize I have a problem. I have a weakness in this area. I have to do something about it. But not cholila, that the Gemira Stas that I had last year was not real and did not accomplish the tshuva just because of the fact that I repeated it. You know why I repeated it? Not because I didn't mean it sincerely, but because I got this big, fat Yetzirah. Yetzirah got me again. But that's all. I really did tshuva. So once again, we see that the tshuva is, this is it. I was goyim b'daitoy. It's not as overwhelming as we think. Now, some would fault this conversation and say, what? You come in front of a group of people, sincere people, erlicha people, people who really want to grow and to change and make a difference in their lives in these yomim ha-noiroim, and you're talking to them about little things. It's only little things. You talk about the chesed Hashem. Why don't you strike fear of the Lord into their hearts? Fire or brimstone. Then, well, you know, that concept was really never a part of Yahadus. Going as far back as David HaMelech said, the posuk in Kuf Lamed in Shir HaMalos Mima'amakim, Ki imcho haslicho l'man tivorei. With you, Hashem, is forgiveness in order that you be feared. And the Ramban is bothered by the question. We know he's forgiving in order that he's feared. I would say the more forgiving he is, the less we're going to fear him. The less forgiving he is, the more we're going to fear him. So what's the Pasuk talking about? So he explains that if we don't know that Hashem is forgiving, then we become paralyzed. We become overwhelmed with fear, and I can't even allow myself to be afraid. You know, like the Rashi says in Vohavtas Hashem Elokecha in Kriyat Shema, it says Vohavtas Hashem Elokecha Ein Odoyme Oved Miyavo LeOved Miyira. It's not no comparison between serving Hashem out of fear and out of love. Oved Miyira. Oh, he's talking even serving anyone, but it's applying it to Hashem. If one serves out of fear, Raboy Matriacholov. It becomes too overwhelming. The kitchen gets too hot. I'm out of the kitchen. That's all. I can't handle it. It's too much. So to the contrary, when we know how loving, when we know how forgiving, when we know how caring, when we know the extent of Hashem's chesed and rachamim, that's the point with which we can really come to take it seriously and to be more concerned and to allow ourselves to, you know, have a little it's serious business. Let's not make a joke out of it. So, but we can only do that if we first know the extent of Hashem's chesed and His forgiveness and how He roots for us and how He works for us and how He's helping us and how He considers every little thing to be so significant to elevate us and to help us and to bring us closer and closer to Him. So, I think that that's very important. But where does this fear have to take us? What's the end game when it comes to fear on these days? So there's a famous story. I'm not so sure, maybe it's not a famous story. But it's a story about the Briskarov. It was 1959 in the Aseres Yimei Tshuva. He was very, very sick. He actually passed away that Erev Yom Kippur, right before Kol Nidre. And Rav Shach came to visit him. And he asked the Rav, he says, the Rav is very tzushroken. He looked very fearful. It was out of character. Rizka Rav was known to be an amazing Baal Bitochen. He worked on Bitochen, and he spoke and he lived a life of Bitochen and Hashem, trusting Hashem for everything, and it gave him a Nuchas HaNefesh. He didn't have to. It was a different, he couldn't understand what was going on. So the Rizka Rav told him the following. He says, the Rambam Pirush HaMishnayis on the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, where the Mishnah discusses why we don't say Hallel on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So the Rambam says that, so the Mishnah says, because the world is being judged and you can say Hallel, it's inappropriate. So the Rambam expands upon what does that mean. So he says as follows. He says, the days of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are days of year of Afachat, fear and trepidation. Umivrach mimenu, to it the extent that I want to run out of the kitchen. Rabbo matriach halov hoylich lo. I can't handle it. And what do? Umonose love, and I run into the embrace of Hashem. So the Rav told him, I'm working on the fear in order to elevate myself to the bitochen. Because if there's no fear, there's no real bitochen. What, if I'm not afraid, then what am I trusting? I'm trusting it's going to be okay. What's going to be okay? There's no problem. Nothing's going on. It's much like the Marie Kroh says that, it says by Yaakov Avinu, when Esau was coming, Vayira Yaakov, he was afraid. So everybody's bothered. What was he afraid about? He had a haftocha. Oh, maybe he sinned, and therefore the haftocha is not relevant. But still, why did he have bitochen? So the Marie Kroh says like this. He forced himself to be afraid so that he faces Yaakov with true bitochen. He says, a marshal, he says, what's a Baal Stoker? A Baal Stoker is not a person who money means nothing to him and he gives it away. A Baal Stoker is a person, he loves his money. It's his hard-earned money. Tzadikim chaviv na'aleim amoinim yoyisim igufim. And still he gives it away. What's a Baal Bitochen? Not someone who's impervious to the fear. That doesn't exist. There's nothing to be afraid of. Everything is fine. The Baal Bitochen is the one who knows the danger. He rises above it to put his trust in Hashem. That's true bitochen. And that's what the Rav said he was doing. Mivrach mimenu, he's trying to get the point where he's so afraid that he's running away from Hashem, and that will catapult him into a closer relationship, into a true bitochen of Hashem. So even the fear, which is the more difficult part of the yomim hanoiroim, the days of awe, the days of fear, what's the tachlis of that, the Rambam says in the Pirush HaMishnayis? Just to catapult us into a bitochen Hashem. That when I have that, I'm concerned. There's a tzara. What do? You know what I do? I turn to Hashem. I rely on Hashem. And we find that for this reason, Erev Rosh Hashanah, Mesed and Halocha, Megalchen, Mistaprim, we prepare. It's like a yontif to show, the Achreinim say, to show that we're betuchim badin. We trust that Hashem is going to judge us favorably. We go out of our way to strengthen that bitochen. That's what it's all about. So that's the end goal of even the most difficult part, which is that fear, is also to bring us just to the embrace. Umivrach umonosei love. And we run, we jump into Hashem's embrace. And that's really the tachlis of everything. And that's what tshuva is. Tshuva is v'shavto ad Hashem elikecho. Come back to Hashem. Reunite. Reconnect. Feel that closeness. Feel that bitochen. And the truth of the matter is, and I'm sure that I must have mentioned this at a previous occasion, that often it's to me very, in Kapitel Lamed Gimel, in Tehillim, Rannu Tzadikim, we say at Shabbos morning after Hoidu. The Pasuk starts, in the middle it says, Hayotzer Yachad Libom, Hamevin El Kol Maseim. And that's the Pasuk, the Creator takes together the hearts of everyone and looks into them all at once. The Mishnah Rosh Hashanah says, from that pasuk, Hashem judged the whole world b'skira achas. When it comes to Rosh Hashanah, He looks at the entire universe, the entire world, and judges everybody in one swift motion. Something obviously only HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do. And then it continues, it goes, Ein HaMelech Nosho Baruch Choyil, Gibor Lo Yenotza Baruch Koyach, the Melech, his army is not going to help him. The strong man's Koyach is not going to help him. Sheker Asus Lishua, his horses or his tanks are not going to help him. Rav Chelo Yamalet, and all the weapons and all the armies that he has, the eye of Hashem looks favorably on the God-fearing people. And the Chofetz Chaim puts a comma here, and he says, which is the Radak also does similar thing. Ein Hashem el yireyov, that's one group. Lam yachlim lachastoy, and to those who await His chesed, He also looks favorably. In other words, when it comes to the Yom Hadin, there's two groups. There's the Yirei Hashem, the real people, those pious, and they're so God-fearing, and they haven't sinned, or kemat haven't sinned, and Hashem looks at them favorably, tzadikim, tzadikim, tzadik, nechta v'nechtam la'alta l'chaim. Very good. But then there's another group. They're not Yirei Hashem to that extent, but they're meyachalim l'chastoy. They're constantly awaiting Hashem's chesed. They have this bitochen. They don't lose this hope. They turn to Hashem and rely on Him that He is going to help them. And that confidence that they have, that Hashem is going to help them, that is another factor in the judgment on Rosh Hashanah. And the next pasuk says, L'hatzil mimoves nafshom l'chayosam barov, going back on both. He will save them in mimoves and sustain them in hunger and famine. To which? To both groups, to the Yirei Hashem and also to the Meyachalim L'chastoy. So I guess the upshot of this whole discussion is that we have to think in terms of the Chesed Hashem. We have to think in terms of how overwhelmingly kind Hashem is in accepting even the smallest little step, the smallest little effort that we make. Rabbi Yisrael Salanta teaches us, says anyone who makes a slight step in improvement is what he calls begeder oise tshuva. I haven't completed the process, but I'm in the geder. I'm in the right area. I'm on the path of doing tshuva, and Hashem is willing to be machshav the slightest, the smallest, and to consider that a tshuva, to consider that a schus, to consider that a greater level of bitochen to affect the year, to consider the effort to emulate Avraham Avinu with that dveikus, to be able to do an akedas yitzchok, even though all we're doing is imagining to be machshiv that as a schus in the din in Rosh Hashanah, to be able to consider just the gemiras das that we make as a force strong enough to say that's considered tshuva. And now you have reinstated and reconnected and reinstated that relationship with Hashem. Hashem in His chesed does that for us. Then we have to look that. We have to have bitochen. Yes, the fear might be good. You know, if not for Erev Rosh Hashanah, we probably wouldn't be sitting here talking about these things. You know, but there is concern. Everybody's concerned. I think there isn't a person sitting in this room who doesn't wish, and maybe some articulated some subconsciously, we'd be sitting in the sukkah already. I wish this would all be over with, and we'll all be sitting in the sukkah. But yet, if we think about the chesed, and we take that nervousness, or that fear, or that concern that we have, and transpose it to a bitochen in Hashem, to mivrach mimenu, run away from that fear, umonos elov, and run into Hashem's embrace. If we can do that, that's the formula. That's the formula for the ultimate reconnection with Hashem. Tshuva is supposed to return us to Hashem. That bitochen that we can inspire in the seriousness of this moment is maybe the ultimate return and can have that power for us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help that we should be able for ourselves and for our families and for Klal Yisrael to be able to experience these yomim tovim, these yomim noiroim, in a very, very positive, optimistic, recognizing the Chesed Hashem, feeling that Chesed, inspiring ourselves to reconnect with Him and to rely on Him to help us. And in that Zchus HaKadosh Baruch Hu will grant us a year of Chaim V'Sholim, and Hatzlocha and Brocha, and Mazel and Nachas, and Sholom Al Yisroel, and hopefully a Yeshua for this world in which we live, which is, it's gone crazy. And hopefully this year something will change in terms of the world leadership to be able to bring about a true Yeshua that we should be able to survive. Kodesh Baruch Hu should help, and we should all be zeiche to a ksiva ksima toiva, and brocha v'atzlocha, kei yihi rotzon.